Manchester City are still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey's denied again! And Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
From the Gao Studios in Houston, this is Soccer Matters. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome everybody into Soccer Matters here, a special edition Friday on 97.5. And as always, a grand thank you to those who get us on the air. Danish Inspirations, Contemporary Furniture, 7-Up, the Daspit Law Firm, and Liberty Kitchen. Now, I hope all of you are watching and enjoying the Women's World Cup, the Copa America, whatever it is. We all know we have the Gold Cup coming into town here in the near future. We've also got Mexico-Honduras over at Energy Stadium. So there's amazing international soccer content coming through the city of Houston. Of course, the Dynamo in action tonight against FC Dallas. And speaking of the Houston Dynamo, it is a very big next five games, 4 out of 5 against Western Conference opponents. We mentioned this earlier in the year. This was going to happen here. The Dynamo, as much as any team in Major League Soccer, struck by the fact that they've got a number of international call-ups. In fact, they went into Portland last weekend, going down 2-0 in Portland, but go to Portland missing 4 top-quality players. Brad Davis has now been called in to the U.S. national team for the Gold Cup. DeMarcus Beasley likely or could be called in when they get to the quarterfinal stage. Of course, you got Boniac Garcia away with Honduras now. Giles Barnes, Jermaine Taylor available against FC Dallas. But, you know, it is very tough on a manager. It's tough on the league, Major League Soccer, at this time of the year with June and July, just very difficult months and very challenging months, quite frankly. And, again, we must bring up at some point the possibility of moving to the world schedule to get up with the rest of the world, to find a way of producing creative scheduling to mix with all the potential weather challenges you would have. But at some point, we need to get there because games in June and July, devoid of stars, it's not cutting it. And it's tough for fans to want to come out when star players, in some cases, aren't available. And, of course, we know throughout Major League Soccer, we have a ton of players that are involved with CONCACAF and a bit with the Copa America and South America. As well. We're streaming at ESPN975.com. Remember, the podcasts are available at ESPN975.com as well. You click on the Audio Vault, you click on Soccer Matters to get all the podcasts. It's Facebook Soccer Matters, and it's Twitter, Glenn Davis Soccer. Now, there's a really cool event this weekend to remind you of here in Houston, and the reason I'm going to start with this is because Powerade is coming to Houston. It is called Sueño Alianza, and it's all about Latino and Hispanic soccer in Houston. What it is Powerade's trying to change a young soccer player's life and trying to provide opportunity to local players here in the Houston area that are going to compete in front of top scouts from Mexico and the U.S. at this tryout. Now, it's this weekend at Cullen Park. Okay, so it's kind of a situation where you've got to get through different tryouts to the ultimate event. The best players from the area then get selected. They'll go head-to-head in the Powerade Sueño Alianza National Showcase. That is in Miami in September. And the bottom line is out of this comes a professional contract. So it's this weekend at Cullen Park. It's 19008 Soms. Obviously, that is in Houston. There's 5,000-plus teenagers from 40 states that get to play in front of these scouts. So it's this Saturday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., Sunday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. And it is quite the amazing opportunity. There have been a number of players that have gone through this. Dennis Flores and Julio Morales came into U.S. national team camps under Jurgen Klinsmann. Edwin Lara is currently, at the moment, on the path to representing Mexico at the under-17 level. So It's a great event, and it's an opportunity for young players to be sort of picked out and discovered through what is quite the amazing opportunity. So our thanks to Powerade and our thanks to Sueño Alianza. Pretty cool that it's here in Houston, Texas, so look into it. Tonight on the program, we'll have Steve Buenin. Now, you know that on a number of occasions, I'd like to bring in mainstream media hosts and personalities. Steve Buenin is with Unfiltered with Sean and Steve, Sean Salisbury, on ESPN Radio, 12 to 2 p.m. Central Time, Monday through Fridays. But he's got a Brazilian wife. He does have a connection to soccer, having grown up in Seattle, and we'll talk with him tonight. Jeff Cameron, we're going to air that interview again. Jeff Cameron of Stoke City, he's going to tell you why he's not opting to play in the Gold Cup. He also signed a new 3-year deal with Stoke. A number of great guests on this program tonight. Lloyd Barker of the Montreal Gazette is going to give you the scoop on how impactful the Women's World Cup has been up in Canada. That is another big piece of the show tonight. And Brian Ching will weigh in with us as well here tonight on the women's game and a number of things. We even talk a little bit about potentially moving the Major League Soccer schedule to the world schedule. Now, the Dynamo in Portland, I thought, totally got victimized. Legitimate goal scored. Would have put them up 1-0. But, you know, I do feel there is a bit of panic from Dynamo fans now here in Houston. As I said at the beginning of the year, this is a work in progress. It's a new manager adjusting to a new league, new rules, a very talented manager and staff. The Dynamo have moved to the Western Conference. I don't think, without question, the Western Conference is a stronger, more difficult conference to navigate, in my humble opinion. This is a work in progress. I think it's still a team that's two players away from it. The team is a much better team defensively now. The danger off set pieces and free kicks has returned. I think the Dynamo have scored 10 goals off of them. That has returned. But if you're looking for, just because a Premier League manager has come in and you're looking for him to wave a magic wand in a league of parity, in a league where there's salary caps, you're kidding yourself. So what you have to look for is subtle advances. And those subtle advances have come in a better team shape, a more difficult team to score goals on. And when you extract the likes of a Giles Barnes from this team, who is one of the top attacking players in the league, opponents can look at you completely differently. Now, if Giles Barnes was in Portland, how differently would the Portland Timbers have looked at the Dynamo? Here was their player that could get behind their defense on the counterattack. Here's a player that could do it on his own. So you got to measure a lot of the commentary with being patient this year. And I think the Dynamo, you know, obviously the goal in Major League Soccer, only 37% of the teams don't make the playoffs. I don't know if there's enough consequence during the regular season. But I think the Dynamo are going to be on the cusp of that this year. But I think they're going to be on the cusp of it in a better position going forward in the future in the following year as they continue to do a number of different things with their youth development program. They're trying to get their USL situation and essentially a reserve team set up here, because the future in Major League Soccer is producing your own. There is no doubt about it with the salary cap and with buying and selling players on the world market. That is, without a doubt, a big, big piece of it. We've always done here, we always try to get the opinion of those in mainstream media, and I didn't have to go far. I just walked down the hall here at ESPN 97.5. I have picked off the one and only Steve Buenin. He is one of the hosts of Unfiltered with Sean and Steve. That's on ESPN Radio, 12 to 2 p.m. Central Time, Mondays through Fridays. You listen to him, and if you don't, you should. He grew up in the great soccer town of Seattle, has done a number of television years, and, of course, many people know him from SportsCenter and Outside the Lines on ESPN, plus the MLS Game of the Week. Steve, thank you very much for coming in here.
Thank you for having me. As a Steve Jungle Preki fan of the late 80s and the Tacoma Stars, I have a lot of soccer knowledge to bring to the table. Not in your class, but I played a lot as a kid, and I've always been a fan. And then, as you know, I was sort of codified as an eternal soccer fan because I married a woman from Brazil. So now it's in my blood.
Yeah, what happens World Cup time with your wife? And mention your wife's name. What happens World Cup time with your wife?
Her name is Viviani. She's from Recife, which is in the northeast where the United States played one of their games, that big rainout washout that they had at the last World Cup. And like I said, I was already a decent-sized soccer fan, and at ESPN, there aren't that many of us. You know, Bob Lee leads the charge, and then I was one of the few behind him, so I did MLS coverage for a while. But I've learned what it's like to be in a soccer family where it dominates from the beginning of the World Cup. Look, before the World Cup starts, it's all the family talks about when they talk about sports. So on a game day, so I'll tell you this last one, we had her mom came into town. Her father recently passed away. Her mom flew in from Brazil, and her brother and his family flew in. And so we're watching the games in our TV room, and her mom, who's 70 years old, has tears in her eyes. This is the first time Brazil has hosted the World Cup since whatever, right?
Yeah, way back.
And she's got her hand over her heart during the Brazilian national anthem, and she has tears in her eyes. I mean, this is what it means to her. And she's not – I mean, she's a fan, but she's not a hardcore soccer fan. It's just – it is a way of life down
Did
there.
Did she witness the Germany thrashing of Brazil?
So we don't talk about that in our family.
I know, but
in fact,
you
bringing
here,
it up, I don't know if I'm going to have to file a divorce.
But like, I would have been worried about.
Yes, I mean it was. So that was brutal. She literally won't talk about it, and I gave her a couple days to cool down, and I said, "Babe, what?" She goes, "Don't bring it up." Like they're just it's that intense, yeah. And the way that it happened, and Neymar with the back, it just went from bad to worse. It's an intense experience to watch a Brazilian soccer match with her, and then watching a match in Brazil. Is so cool. I've never been at a sporting event like that in my life. Like just a regular city match between two teams in Rio. I went to at Maracanã was forget about it.
You were in hollow grounds. You know that.
I do. I felt like that when I was there. It's actually funny. It was a league. I think it was the equivalent of like the Royals playing the Tigers, like a division rival, but a mid season game. And I wouldn't say riots outside, but fans in mass singing 50, 100 at a time, police on horses trying to make sure that, fans aren't getting themselves in any trouble. And the singing from the beginning of the – from before the match starts, constantly through the end of the game between dual sections of fans that they have to have some areas of the stadium at Maracanã in Rio that are empty so that you won't have fan violence and unrest – It's a different level of intensity than a Super Bowl. I mean, I've been able to be at a Super Bowl and NBA MLB playoffs. Nothing close to being in my experience, just a regular season game in Rio.
I can't wait to take that soundbite out because I'm going to loop that now before my show.
over and over.
He's Steve Buhnen joining us here. He's the host of Unfiltered with Sean Salisbury. Great guys, and they always are very generous to me. Let me come on and talk a little bit of soccer with them. All right, so let's take soccer into mainstream media in this country, and this is why it's important for me to have mainstream sports hosts on you that do have an affinity for soccer. You obviously respect it for a number of different reasons. But where do you see it now in the landscape of the United States? Because the U.S. is different than any other country in the world in that it's got at least three other traditional sports. It's got lifestyle. It's got a lot of different things here that challenge it. It's not the only thing
right. Like
it is in Brazil. So where do you see this sport now, and what sort of trends do you see happening?
I see it changing with the population growth in our country. And as our country becomes more and more Spanish-speaking as first language, I think that bar graph is going to make a parallel increase in the popularity of soccer. And I also remember my first time in Brazil, and we try to get down once a year or so to where my wife is from. And the first time I was there driving from the airport to her house, we're driving along the beach because it's a nicer drive. And I see people playing foot volley. So for American fans, volleyball, no hands, just catching it with their thigh, knee,
ridiculous.
Kick or head and get it back over. And this is like we would play pickup basketball in America. Yeah. And it hit me right then why soccer in America will never be what it is in these other countries. It's what they play from when they're getting out of diapers all the way up. And there's pickup games outside of my sister-in-law's apartment. Like, this happens all the time. So I don't think it'll ever be equal until that sort of experience happens
but
here.
But is it carving out its own niche right now?
Yes, I think it's growing. I think it's growing because we're becoming a more diverse population, which I applaud, by the way. I think with that, the better America does at the bigger tournaments, the more that helps. And the more generations that play. But, like, I think I'm kind of an interesting case in that, like, I played a ton of soccer as a kid. I was on teams playing Tuesdays and Thursdays and Saturdays, and I was okay.
You did the whole youth thing.
Yeah, but by 7th, 8th grade, I kind of gave it up. I was better at basketball and tennis and baseball, and so I sort of went that way. And I think that happens to a lot of kids because, if I'm not mistaken, youth soccer, the participation here in our country, right, is as big as it's ever been.
I think right now, popularity-wise, too, soccer is second to the NFL now amongst youngsters,
right. Like
15 to 15 to
but 25. I think also, we just don't grow up watching it, if you're not a true soccer nut, the way that you grew up watching NFL on Sunday, where it's appointment television, the way it is for my family in Brazil. So my opinion is that until we start getting, David Beckham and Kaká and Thierry Henry in the prime of their career, I don't know that it's going to take as center of stage that it does in those countries. But by the way, that wasn't happening 7, 8, 10 years ago. Now those guys are coming over at least late in their career. Whoever is the first guy that comes over in the middle of his career to MLS, I think that could also be a game changer in a way that, that Beckham was.
What about mainstream media? Like a city like Houston, where we've got tremendous international content coming through here. We'll get the token article when Mexico comes here from the Houston Chronicle. But really, the coverage top to bottom from mainstream media. You know, obviously here at Gal Media, ESPN Radio, Yahoo, we support soccer. And that's why we have the best soccer programming here. But, you know, what is the responsibility of the journalist? Because I see this soccer content, number one, as saleable. I also see it as opportunity for the Chronicle to gain readers, for people to gain viewers on television in the future. It is maybe the one piece of content that there is a pretty large upside if you want to work at it.
I think the hard thing is, you know, what moves the needle? Like, certainly in sports radio, you know, I could just tell you from doing our show, if I ask a question about the Texans quarterbacks, cardboard lights up, message board lights up, Twitter lights up. If I ask a question about, you know, guns or race, same thing.
Or you bring Glenn Davis on, the needle goes the other way.
No, but like, even if I bring up a question about the Rockets, unless we're in the heat of the playoffs, the needle just doesn't move that much.
Wait, honestly, when you bring me on, do you think the needle goes the other direction?
No.
Are you in there going, oh, damn, we got to bring Glenn on and talk soccer?
No, I think what happens is soccer fans love it. Non-soccer fans either hopefully welcome it or put up with it. And some people probably do turn away because they're not into soccer the same
way. You always segue me in talking about other stuff, too, which I think is brilliant on your part.
I think it's important to get in the guy or woman who's a, you know, sports fan but not a soccer fan. But they're not adamantly opposed to it. Like, they're not and pick that for any sport, whether it's a hockey, soccer, UFC, golf. Like, if we talk golf for 30 minutes, people will tune out.
Sure.
But if you have a reason to bring them in, or if you have a golf guy and you ask him, hey, by the way, did you see that Seahawks Niners game? What did you think?
Yeah.
It kind of grabs fans. So for me, that's what I've always tried to do. If we have a soccer guest on, or for that matter, any other sport that isn't one of the, you know, the most main three, is try to engage listeners or viewers when I was doing television in a way that can bring them into the conversation where you can hold on to them as soccer fans and not turn them away.
You, sir, are very good at that.
Yeah,
that is why you've had a long career in the media. Listen, Steve, we want to have you on again in the future because this is a good discussion. We can carry it a lot further.
I appreciate it. Anytime.
All right. He's the one and only Steve Buhnen. Catch him on Unfiltered with Sean Salisbury, 12 to 2 p.m. Central Times, Monday through Friday, ESPN 97.5. All right. So stay with us tonight. We've got a ton of great interviews here. You will also hear from Tom Marshall down in Mexico City on a number of things Mexico. And by the way, Miguel Herrera under real pressure. We will take a break right now. We remind you that 7-Up, enjoy the crisp, clean taste of 7-Up. 7-Up delivers more of the natural lemon-lime flavor you love. No caffeine, 100% natural flavor. 7-Up always refreshing. Don't forget 7-Up 10, which has the full flavor of 7-Up with only 10 calories. Finally, the perfect 10. Thank you, Liberty Kitchen. 7-Up, Bud Light, Bar Munich, Daspit Law Firm, and the gorgeous Gale. And Danish Inspirations, contemporary furniture, our good friend Jan Christensen. All right, a lot of great interviews tonight on a very interview-based show. Next Tuesday, we get back to getting out and reaching out to you, the callers. So be ready next Tuesday and Thursday. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, and we're really going to be looking for your opinion on everything from the Gold Cup action that's going to be taking place here at BBVA Compass Stadium. Get your tickets over BBVA Compass Stadium box office for the Gold Cup. You have an opportunity to see Giles Barnes and Jamaica in action down there in his home Dynamo Stadium with Jermaine Taylor as well. And you've got Mexico Honduras over at NRG Stadium. It's Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. Facebook, Soccer Matters. You know him as the great goal scorer in the history of the Houston Dynamo. He is now the managing director of the Houston Dash of the NWSL. He joins us now on ESPN 97.5. He's Brian Ching. Brian, how are you?
Doing great, Glenn. Enjoying all the soccer that's been on TV.
Yeah, let me take you to the Women's World Cup, because the Houston Dash are pretty rare in the fact that they've got six players involved in this World Cup, still doing so well here up in Canada. Of course, three on the Canadian national team, three on the U.S. national team. Talk about their being in this event and then apply it to their return to the NWSL, because likely they'll be back on the 12th against the Chicago Red Stars.
Yeah, I just saw a stat as far as NWSL teams go. We have our players that are in the tournament have played more minutes than on any other team. So that's a pretty neat stat that we have there. We got three on the American team in Lloyd, Brian, and Klingberg, and then three on the Canadian team, Sesselman, Chapman, and McLeod. So, it's been fun to watch. Definitely think our players have been playing well. We enjoyed watching them, and that bodes well for us here at the Dash. So we're excited to have them back. Our next game with all of them is going to be July 12th. So we're looking forward to making a big splash here in Houston when they get back against Chicago.
Yeah, is there, obviously you want Canada and you want the United States to go far in this tournament for the interest of the women's game overall. What do you think the takeaway could be if they come back? Is it just excitement initially when they come back from playing in the Women's World Cup, or is there a long-term effect to it? What do you think it is?
Well, I'm hoping that we'll be able to build. I think soccer in this country is on a progression upwards. With every World Cup on the men's side, you see more interest. And we're hoping that, obviously we had a tremendous amount of interest when the women hosted the World Cup here back in, I think it was 90. But I think over the past few years, obviously there was a drop off after the 90, but after the few years, that past few World Cups, the interest is growing a little bit more and more. And so, I think there's definitely a huge buzz around the U.S. national team. And, I think we need to carry that, and I think we need to do a better job here of kind of promoting that and making sure that people around Houston know that we have six players in the World Cup. And, I think if we do a good job of that, capitalizing on all these watch parties, then we're going to look to, hopefully increase our attendance and give the women the attendance the crowds that they deserve.
Brian Ching joining us here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. We thank Brian for his time. All right, so something significant happened to me, Brian, after the U.S.-Columbia game. Mm-hmm. So the United States has not played aesthetically the best soccer in this Women's World Cup. Now, we're doing this interview while they're in action here tonight. But the thing I point to is after that game, U.S. coach Jill Ellis came out in the press and the media, talked about how well the team played. She got a major, major pushback from fans and media in that fans and media did not think the quality of play was good enough. They kind of called her out on it. And to me, this is a really significant moment, a healthy moment, because it reminds us that the mantra sometimes in the United States is it's just all about winning. And the fact is, when it comes to the sport of soccer, both on the men and women's side, it isn't just all about winning. It's about entertainment and the product you put on the field. We all know that is significant when it comes to the Houston Dynamo. It's going to be significant when it comes to the Houston Dash. So I thought this was an amazing moment, and I look at it as a very positive moment because it reminds us that the soccer public is getting more educated, and just winning isn't enough now. And when it comes to the women's national team, it's just not a love affair between little girls and women now. People want the quality of play to be analyzed and brought to another level. Fair?
Yeah, I definitely think that's fair. I think that there's, I think the analysts, the people covering the game are doing a great job of kind of filling in the people that just kind of watch the game, when the World Cup comes around. And I think, because of the MLS, because of the World Cup, a lot more Americans are more educated about the game now. And, obviously you see that, with the treatment of Joe Ellis right now. And, you have to say, it's great for the game and it's right. I don't think the U.S. has played particularly well right now. Obviously they had some challenges coming into the World Cup with Alex Morgan being injured, Rapinoe being injured, and not playing a lot into the buildup. And I don't really feel they found a set lineup, as they came into the World Cup. And, part of that was due to injury, and then part of that was just, a lack of a solid team playing consistently and playing consistently well coming into World Cup, so where people knew that they were going to be starters or whatnot. Then, unfortunately, the team hasn't played its best. But, I think that's a good thing, because I think the players feel that they can play better. And that's kind of what you want as you move into the later rounds. You want the team to be confident that, that they haven't played their best and that they can play better. And hopefully they can figure it out. And I feel they're a very resourceful team. They have tons of talent that, you know, they'll be able to, you know, they were able to get by on their talent. But I think these later rounds, you know, are going to be a little bit more difficult. But, you know, I still think that they should make it through at least this next game against China. And then you come up against probably, you know, what a lot of people are going to think is should be the final, you know, in the sense that you're going to play either France or Germany, which are arguably the two other top favorites in the tournament.
Brian Ching joining us here on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. What I have found fascinating, Brian, is how countries like Colombia, how countries like France, who technically have really shown us that they are very similar to the men's team with their cultures in their country. But what we've seen is them narrow the gap of the physical and athletic side of the game. They've grown. So look at France now. France is a team that's talked about as potentially winning the whole thing. 4 or 5 years ago, they didn't have the strength and power, but you could see that they had incredible technical ability, could move a ball, you know, a great short passing game, could open games up. They just didn't have the power and strength. They do now. They've married the two together. And it's absolutely fascinating to see these countries closing the gap on countries like the United States and Germany that heavily invest into the women's game.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things that kind of initially led to a lot of U.S. success right off the bat and in the beginning was the college game. You know, players had a place to play. You know, women had a place to play for a long time, you know, past the youth raids as they went into you know, the colleges. And then obviously we had a country that put a lot of money into the women's game as well. But now I think you're seeing with all the leagues coming around the, you know, around the world consistently, I think France has a consistently good league. Germany has a consistently good league. Japan does, you know, Australia does. And you're seeing that some of these countries, you know, their national teams are benefiting from that. You know, and that's one of the things, and the struggle with the United States is the fact that, you know, there's been no consistent league year in and year out, you know, and I think that's the importance of the NWSL as far as, you know, providing our national team with the best players, some of the best players in the world. The NWSL is going to be extremely important, I think, to the success of the national team as we move forward in the future.
Brian, listen, you got something exciting coming up. You're doing some camps. You, Landon Donovan, Stuart Holden, tell us about it.
Yeah, you know, I think we all missed the field, to be honest. And
I'm sure.
You know, it's a way for us to go out and get together and do some camps around the country. I mean, we're really excited. It's called Helm Soccer. There's a website, helmsoccer.com. We're going to be putting on camps in Austin, Texas, and San Diego this year, July 31st to August 2nd in Austin, and then in San Diego, August 26th through August 28th. And, you know, we're looking to expand on that next year and do 5 more cities around the country, you know, obviously. So pay attention and sign up, because we're going to go to the cities where we have the most people signing up and saying that they want us to come and give an intimate experience. You know, I think for us, it's more than just about soccer. It's about leadership, character. And a big part of what we're doing and go as we go to these different cities is giving back to the soccer community, a youth charity that we're going to partner with in every city we go, so that, you know, we are setting a good example for kids, and we are creating an intimate camp and getting to know our campers, and, you know, looking forward to have a lot of fun.
Great opportunity for people to get up close to Landon Donovan, Brian Ching, Stuart Holden. It's Helm Soccer. com. Brian, as always, thank you very much for coming on the program. We always appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me, Glenn.
All right, that's the one and only Brian Ching. Hey, a quick word here for the Daspit Law Firm, working for you 24/7. They're Houston personal injury attorneys. They handle personal injury cases from plant and refinery accidents to medical injuries, industrial accidents, 18-wheeler, wrongful death, you name it, they've got it covered. DaspitLaw.com, 713-364-0915, DaspitLaw.com. Also bilingual, toll-free, 888-273-1045 in English and Spanish. Our thanks to the Daspit Law Firm.
Always a great guest to have on this show. And, of course, many of you in Houston know him. He is Jeff Cameron of the U.S. national team and Stoke City. Jeff joins us now. I think you're somewhere on the East Coast, Jeff. That's just my lucky guess, hopefully.
Hey, Glenn. Yeah, man. I'm back home for another week or so before I head back to England. So, actually, we just got hit with a tornado warning, but it just went past us, so we're all right.
Any opportunity to eat some of that good New England seafood, which I know you covet?
Every day, lobster, Little Necks, oysters, clams, everything, man. I got to stock up on that before I head back to England.
And it must be nice for you just to have an opportunity to kind of just shut out the game as much as you possibly can, see your family, and really kind of re-energize the batteries.
Yeah, I mean, it's been almost 4 or 5 years now that I've actually had a full off season where I can shut the body down. I mean, this is the first time I haven't done anything in about 2.5 weeks. I mean, not run, not work out. And then the last week and a half, I've been working out, doing three sessions a week of doing fitness, and the other 2 days were in the gym working out. So I'm getting back into my preseason mode and fitness to be in shape for preseason.
Yeah, isn't this kind of the first phase for you, is making sure you got a good base of fitness before you go into actually your preseason?
Yeah, I mean, when you're training and playing for 10, 11 months of the year, basically we have an off-season program that's just kind of not like crazy hard fitness. It's just kind of to keep your body ticking over, keep your legs ticking over, so you don't lose too much, but you also get the full rest that you need. So it's just about maintaining your fitness. I mean, and making sure that your body's able to heal and recover from a long season.
He's Jeff Cameron joining us here. And before we get into a couple of the real interesting pieces around you right now with the national team and, of course, your new Stoke contract, I just want to ask you, how important during the regular season, when there is so much stress, there is so much volume of games, there is travel, how important is it for you to be able to say no to things, to social engagements, so that you make sure that, you know, you bank the rest that you need to deal with all the things you deal with on a weekend?
I mean, it happens on a regular basis. I mean, I'll go out to dinner maybe once, twice a week. Most of the time I'm cooking at home because I enjoy cooking. It's like my hobby. But then there's other times when the guys are going out, or, you know, everybody's going out for a function after. You know, you can only do that so often. I mean, maybe I probably go out maybe once a month with the guys or do stuff like that, just because the schedule's so hard, and recovery is the most important thing, and that's just making sure you're taking care of your body, you're resting right, you're sleeping well, and you're eating all the right food. So that's, for me, that's the most important thing. I have, you know, you can wait until after your career to drink and do whatever you want, but for me, it's just about maximizing your opportunity and taking advantage of your career. You know, I want to maximize as many years as I can, and doing all those right things on a regular basis will only help me prolong my career.
I got to think you've seen some guys come and go that haven't been able to figure that side of it out, that were talented.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of guys that come in and, you know, they enjoy the lifestyle, or they enjoy the, you know, the type of fame for a little bit, but then it ends up going to the bars and clubs and all that kind of stuff, and then you see them kind of fizzle out. And the best piece of advice that I ever got was when I was in my first year at Houston, and Dominic Kinnear and John Spencer said, you know, we believe in you, we think you have a long career ahead of you, and if you stay focused and you take care of your things off the field, you're going to have a very, very bright future ahead of you, and you can leave the drinking out, because and it doesn't say I don't drink. You know, I've had some drinks this summer, this offseason, because I'm enjoying myself and having a good time, but during season it's very, very rare for me to do that, because I know my body so well, and it takes a toll on you. It takes years off your career, and that's the first advice that they gave me. That they said they could have played longer if they, you know, they took care of their body better.
Yeah, what great advice from Dominic Kinnear and John Spencer. And it does seem that the modern athlete now is understanding earning potential, length of career, and really taking care of themselves like you are. All right, well, let's get to the big news. I think what most people want to try to get their arms wrapped around is, you're not with the national team in the Gold Cup. I know Stoke didn't really want you to play in this Gold Cup based on a new 3-year deal you have and want you to come in fresh. Just explain to everybody sort of what's going on there with the U.S. national team and no Gold Cup.
Yeah, the whole situation is with Stoke signing a new 3-year deal and basically, you know, finishing the season on the 24th of May, and then you have a first game, you know, I think you have two friendlies against Germany and Holland in a way, and you want to be able to play in those games, but at the same time, you know, playing 11 months straight and having injuries for the season with a sports hernia and a few other things with my calves and some of my abdominal things that I had, they wanted me to shut the body down because I was more at risk if I kept on going and training and not getting the right amount of rest and recovery before a big season ahead. You're more likely to redo that coming in for preseason. So the fact that they asked me to kind of shut the body down a little bit to heal, let it heal and do all that kind of things, I think was, you know, it's a tough decision because I want to play with the national team. I want to represent my country, but at the same time, I can't go against my club and go from there. So it's kind of, a player's in a tough position when they're asked to do that. But I mean, I respect Stoke and my coaching staff and all that. And obviously I respect Jurgen and what he has to do and all that. So we'll go from there.
How do you think Jurgen Klinsmann, you know, handles this? I mean, do you know? Because, you know, he sometimes keeps it close to the vest with players.
Yeah, I mean, we had a conversation and I kind of told him, like, you know, we talked about the situation that I was in with Stoke and everything. We just kind of talked about, I don't know, their frame of mind and kind of how I said I wanted to play. But this is kind of what's been kind of holding me back, and I was kind of in a tough position. And he respects that, and he understands that, you know, the club is the team that is you know, basically I play for them the majority of the year. So he understands that. He's been a club coach, so he has a kind of that frame of reference. So for me, I think I walked away with the conversation that we both had a good understanding and that, you know, even respect the wishes of Stoke. And, you know, I said I want to represent the national team and play as often as I can and be there. And that's the last thing I want to do is, you know, you don't want to burn bridges and be left out with the national team. But my main goal is to get back there and be with them for the qualifiers. And the way I can do that is making sure I'm healthy and fit, ready for preseason, and I have a good start of the season, and I'm back in the squad in September, October.
He's Jeff Cameron joining us. Jeff, I look at you and I say, and I've said this on the program many times, outside of goalkeepers in the Premier League, you are the lone American player who's playing more minutes than anybody in arguably the greatest league in the world. So since you left Houston, where is it now that your game has progressed the most? And I have an idea that I think I know what you're going to answer, but I want to hear you answer the question. How is playing in the Premier League under Mark Hughes in these different environments, the pressure, the healthy pressure, how has this brought your game to another level? And what are the areas in that game that has really jumped up the most?
Well, I think the biggest thing is just being consistent, trying to be consistent on a regular basis. I mean, the competition every single day is unbelievable. I mean, you take a day off, another guy's behind you, and he's taking your spot for the weekend. So that's the number one, and that's being unsaid. I mean, where in the MLS, it might be a little different. If you're a big-name player, you might not have as much pressure, but you have two or three guys, and just because the roster's bigger in Europe, you have two or three guys knocking on your door or knocking on, you know, right behind you because they want to play in the weekend. And they're just as good as you. So you got to make sure you're performing every single day. And that's the biggest thing is competition. And then obviously you're challenging yourself every single weekend playing against the best players in the world. You're playing against Van Persie. You're playing against Mata. You're playing against, you know, Drogba, Diego, Costa. I mean, you're playing against Arsenal teams like that. They have world-class players and you're challenging yourself every single weekend. And the biggest thing is, Every game, every second, every play matters. I mean, you see the relegation goes down to the end of the season, the relegation battle, and every single point, you lose a game in the beginning of the season that you should have won, that could cost you at the end of the season. Those points, those 3 points, those at 1 point can cost us. And we kind of had that feeling this summer. You know, when we lost to Swansea at the end of the season away, and then we lost to Burnley in the beginning of the season because we didn't come out sharp. Those 3 or 4 points that we could have had could have put us in seventh or eighth place. So, and those are positions that we want to be in and looking up at the, you know, Europa League spot. So all that into one is, it makes everything, the game, more intense. It's, your focus has got to be 100% for every single second, every single game, and it's got to be the same way in training. And that all comes down in, you know, nutrition, making sure you're eating right, you're getting the right sleep, you're preparing yourself every single day for work, and that just comes down to taking care of yourself and your mind and your health.
Jeff, what kind of statement was that when you guys beat Liverpool 6-1 and just absolutely ripped them apart?
Well, you should
there was a statement
that,
there, right?
For the next game, you know, I think our first game of the season is against Liverpool August 8th. So if we beat them 6-1 again, then it will be a big statement. But for me, it was an amazing way to end the season on a great note. We had the most wins we've ever had at home, most points that Stoke City has ever got in the Premier League. We still stayed in the top 10 in the last 2 years for the first Stoke team to ever do that consistently. So we broke a lot of records this season, but we still have a lot further to go. I mean, I think Stoke City is an up and coming club, and I think we're going to be challenging for the Europa League spot next year for sure.
Is that the goal? I mean, when the season starts, does Mark Hughes stand in front of you and say, "Hey, we're trying to win the Premier League championship"? Is that realistic to say that, or is it, you know, because based on the relative nature of
the money
of
and
funds
everything,
and everything in relation to the top four,
is,
yeah.
We go through the point where, okay, we go through, like, we kind of break the season down in a couple segments. Okay, where are we going to get points? Boom, boom, boom. And kind of our goals for every month, and we kind of break it down in that section where, okay, we can maximize points here. If we keep hitting our target, we're going to stay in the top 10. We're going to stay in the shoot for the top 7. And if we play well and we do well in the Cups, the FA Cup and Capital One Cup, and everybody's healthy and everybody's, you know, producing in all cylinders, then we can create some havoc and turn some heads. So that's always been the goal in the beginning. That was our goal this season. And I think the pressure is going to be on for us even more next season because of how well we did this season.
Yeah, I mean, it was a spectacular season for you guys this year. And is Europe really a big piece of the future of this club? If you're going to, you know, to get European nights at your stadium and to play in Europe and get some of the money that comes with getting into the Europa League, that could be incredibly exciting.
Yeah, and I think that's the goal for all the players that are playing at Stoke. We want to challenge and we want to play in the best tournaments and the best competition. And when you're playing in the Premier League, you're playing against the best players and the best teams in the world. But at the same time, you want to get that little different feeling of playing, you know, traveling to Spain or traveling to wherever, and playing different environments and get that different feeling, you know. And that's one thing that I wanted to challenge myself in my career in that aspect.
Your versatility, Jeff Cameron, has been exceptional. It always has been. You pretty much can play anywhere on the field. And has anything crystallized and be a little bit more – is it a little bit more defined now where your preferred position is with Mark Hughes, your manager?
Yeah, I mean, resigning with Stoke for another 3 years and sitting down with the coach and talking. I think they know where I'd like to play and playing in a defensive midfield role or as a right back. And then as a center back, I think there's three positions that I play consistently on a regular basis with Stoke. And obviously I like to push more for defensive midfield, and hopefully I'll get that opportunity this summer. And, you know, that's why I'm pretty excited to get back, and to get going with Stoke. I mean, I'll have a full preseason, the first time ever I had an actual full preseason with Stoke. So I'm excited to get back there and challenge for a midfield position or if I have to, I'll be a right back as well.
He's Jeff Cameron. Jeff, do you enjoy the preseason trips? I mean, to go to a place like Singapore, obviously the soccer culture in Germany and France. I mean, these have to be great ways to prepare for an upcoming season.
Yeah, you know, I mean, usually I miss out on it, but I get like an extra couple of weeks at home. But I'm actually really excited. I've never been to Singapore, so I'm pretty pumped for that. We'll be there for 11 days, and I'll be there for my birthday. So it'll be pretty cool, special feeling. But the good thing is I'll have another American there. I think we play Everton on that date on the 11th as well. So it'll be funny playing against him. But for me, it's just you get a sense and you get to experience a whole different culture and a new environment. And it's not often where, you know, when you're traveling, you're only in there for a day or two and then you're leaving. You fly in the day before a game and then you play the game and you're leaving. Where we'll be here for 11 days, so we get to, you know, see the culture and see how things are around. And then we head out back to England and then we go to France, be in France for a little bit, and then head back and then go to Germany. So it's cool. It's a great experience, and it's not going to be easy. It's going to be tough, but I'm looking forward to it.
Well, Jeff, let's let you go. I know you got a dinner with some friends. I'm going to let you go. Thank you so much for coming on the program. We do appreciate it 100%. We wish you the best of luck at Stoke. Continued success. What a year it was for you, 2014 and 2015.
Always a pleasure, Glenn. Thanks. Anytime, my man.
All right, you're a gentleman. That's Jeff Cameron joining us here. We'll take a break here. Much, much more to come. It's the best in soccer talk.
ESPN 97.5.